WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Giancarlo Esposito is probably best known for his role as Buggin' Out in Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing. Buggin' Out was the volatile character who demanded that Sal, the Italian owner of the Brooklyn Pizzeria, put pictures of black heroes on the wall.
Mookie, you want to get your friend out of here?
What, are you going to kick me out now? Are you going to kick me out, huh?
No, I'm not kicking you out. You're kicking yourself out.
What? Look, we got some brothers up on the wall, you know? Malcolm X, Nelson Mandela, you know, Michael Jordan. Tomorrow.
Come on, Mookie, get him out, all right?
I'm trying to get him out.
I paid his life.
I know you paid for it. Let's go. Yeah, all right. So you're kicking me out. Beat me in the head and gonna kick me out, right?
Come on, let's
go. Yeah, okay, bet. Yeah, all right.
Let's
go. Look, I paid for my. Look, boycott Sal.
Let's go.
Yo, boycott Sal.
I got your boycott swinging. Boycott
Sal. Esposito met Spike Lee in 1980. Lee was just out of film school, and Esposito was starring in the Negro Ensemble Company's production of Zuman and the Sign. Lee gave Esposito a starring role in the 1988 film School Days as fraternity leader Big Brother Almighty. In Lee's new film, Mo' Better Blues, Esposito plays Left Hand Lacey, the pianist in the jazz quintet, led by a trumpeter played by Denzel Washington. I'll let Esposito describe his character.
Left Hand Lacey is a guy who is a wonderful pianist, and he's gone to Europe with the group and met a French woman, and he takes a lot of flack in the film and also while making the film from having this this woman, Jeanne, who is, of course, he's very much in love with, around all the time, and she sort of controls his life. I really sort of fashioned him as a cross between Lester Young and also Thelonious Monk. I just felt that he had the kind of energy that no one else in the group had, and that he was a little bit out there, and he really didn't care about the feuding that was going on within the group and who was playing what music and whose music would be played. He was just totally in love with his music, with playing the piano. So I kind of put those two guys together and came up with Left Hand Lacey.
You said not only did the character take heat in the movie, but you took heat while making the movie. What did you get the heat for?
Well, you know, working on a Spike Lee film was very different, and people really get into their work, and they really become their characters. And I also happened to have a woman in my life who is not black, who is white. And so that kind of thing comes up. You know, people sort of take their roles all the way down the road. And so I got a little ribbing for that, and I think that was just to help people relate to me on screen in the same manner. So it wasn't any kind of serious heat. It was just all character heat.
In Do the Right Thing, you played Buggin' Out, and that's the character who wants Sal, the Danny Aiello character, to put pictures of blacks on his pizzeria's wall of fame. How did you see the character? Did you see the character as a flake or someone with a strong political point he was trying to make?
Interesting you asked that. I remember the first days of rehearsal, and I really, really loved that character. I've often described him as a guy who has never really read a lot about black history or read a lot about our black political leaders, namely Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And he opens a book one day and reads a very significant paragraph that tells him that he needs to sort of make a change within his community and stand up for black pride and black rights. And he takes that, and that's all he has is this one paragraph. And he feels that that's going to be his key to a whole new life, to a whole new world, to changing his whole community. But he doesn't really know the specifics about, nonviolence. He doesn't know how to implement it within his community. He just wants to be someone who he's not yet.
I want to ask you about that confrontation scene in the pizzeria where you as Buggin' Out and Bill Nunn as Radio Raheem come into the pizzeria after closing time, and Radio Raheem has Fight the Power blasting on his boombox, and you're demanding everybody boycott the pizzeria. And then Sal takes a baseball bat after you all have words with each other and kills the boombox, you know, by
yeah, that
beating
was
it with the bat. The way you guys played the scene was not what was written in the script, right?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, tell me how that evolved.
Well, you know, there was a certain amount of tension on the film, and halfway through making Do the Right Thing, we all knew something was going to happen that with the movie, not particularly on the set. And it was a difficult time because I felt very alone. I, of course, had only one scene with Radio Raheem before that moment. And that scene was a scene in which we had to bond and sort of join forces. No one would talk to him because he was so big and mean-looking in the neighborhood. So, and for me at that time, my only real friend, I would say, on the set was Danny Aiello, which was an odd choice because he's the guy who owns the pizzeria. He is Sal. So for me, that moment became different because we were all getting to the height of the film, and I knew that I had to sort of divorce myself from Danny off screen. And that scene involved really basically myself and Bill. Bill just had to hold the radio and I had most of the lines, and we knew something was going to happen, and we knew that Spike liked ad-libbing. But it was so real is what really happened. I think all of us got caught up in the moment. And it was, you know, a very chilling moment for me in my acting career after 26 years of acting that, you know, you could walk into a room and we were all so involved with our characters that something happened, something just exploded. And I think what it was for me, I know that, you know, all of the anger against the racism that I've encountered in my life sort of came up. It's a very dangerous moment. I think that I always sort of remembered it as Danny just losing it and, you know, yelling, screaming a racial epithet at me. But I was the one, I think, who lost it first in seeing the film or seeing the dailies or the rushes from the movie. I know that we started calling each other names. And I know for me what happened was a real boiling up of something deep within my belly. And it was an anger and it was a hurt. It was a pain that was so immense for me that I was right in the right place. And of course, we lost all of our lines because that's what happens when you get angry. You sort of don't know, you know, what's coming out of your mouth, but you know that you just want to kill the guy who you're having an argument with. And that's sort of the feeling that happened. I remember just going on and on and on, Spike letting the camera roll, and Danny was just turned red, and we were all very, very excited and very angry at each other. And it after the scene, in fact, Danny came around the counter and we just hugged for, oh gosh, at least 3 or 4 minutes.
Well, when you started using ethnic slurs and racial epithets at each other, was there ever any confusion that this might be actually personal, actually be the way you felt about each other?
There really was. There really was. I remember when Danny called me a nigger, I just, you know, Danny reminded me of my dad. My father's Italian, and he's from Naples, Italy, and he never called me a nigger, but he reminded me a lot of my father. Very, very Italian, speaks Italian, just has that whole way about him that's very charismatic and very wonderful, and that's what I like so much about Danny. And that moment when he called me a nigger, I knew that this is what went through my mind. I knew that he had called someone a nigger before, and I knew that it wasn't necessarily on a film set, and it was frightening to me. And I'm sure he felt the same way about the things that I was calling him. And that's when I knew that we were both sort of, you know, exercising some horrible demon.
Are you and Danny Aiello still friends?
Yes, we are. Yeah, I really admire him, and I really dig him. He's a great guy to talk to. And in fact, I saw him last week at the little film thing at the Gracie Mansion, in which Robert De Niro got an award. So, of course, Danny was there, and we hugged and talked, and he's just a great guy. Yeah.
With a name like Giancarlo Esposito, did you ever show up at an audition and have the casting director expect you to be a white Italian?
Yes, that has happened. It's very interesting. And I can't remember for what, but I know a number of years ago it happened quite often. Lately it hasn't happened too much because I used to go to open calls, you know, for different jobs, and that's when it usually happens. And I like to go to auditions where there is no racial connotation to the character that's being auditioned. I feel like that's where I have a lot of strength, because I feel as if today in casting they need to change things and be a little more liberal about the way they cast movies.
Did you grow up in the States or did you grow up in Italy?
I grew up, well, I often say in Italy. I went back very recently with my dad over to Naples, and my father and mother were divorced after 11 years of marriage, so I found out that I thought I was there till 5, but my father sort of straightened me out. I said, no, you left Italy when you were about 3. So I lived in Italy until 3 years old and came to New York and then moved to Cleveland, Ohio, which is where I spent quite a bit of time, and then moved back up to New York, up to the suburbs in Westchester County.
Now, your resume says that you started acting at around age 6. Whose idea was it to start that young, yours or one of your parents?
It was actually myself and my brother were sitting around one Saturday morning watching Gigantor on TV. And my mom and dad were going through a divorce, and so it was a difficult time. And she was doing 8 shows a week or more at Radio City Music Hall to try to pay the rent. And I remember just sitting around going, well, you know, we were watching this commercial. My brother and I said, why can't we do that? And we literally said, hey, you know, Mommy, we wanted to help her out, and why can't we do commercials and help pay the mortgage on the house? And she took us down to an agent, and the agent sort of said, hey, these boys have talent. And 2 days later, we were off auditioning for a Broadway show, Maggie Flynn, and we both got in. So that's how it started. It was really my decision, and I thought it would be fun. And that's really the reason why I got involved. That's the only reason. I remember, you know, having to take a lot of lessons, which I didn't like, and not being able to play, and studying the piano, studying music, studying drama. So it wasn't as much fun as I thought it would be until now, until later on. Because acting is a very difficult profession, especially when you don't have a name and you're not, you know, considered to be a big star. But I fell in love with it, and that's what happened to me.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
I want to thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Giancarlo Esposito plays left-hand Lacey in Spike Lee's new movie, Mo' Better Blues.